since we're going to have Wednesday night service on Monday night, and Donnie's going to be here, I'm going to do my Wednesday night service tonight in the book of Revelation. So it's Revelation chapter 19, and I'd like to entitle it, Let's See Him. There's several comments made earlier in this chapter about the term or name of God. And it represents God. The names represent Him so well. And the verse 1 we have there of chapter 19, it says, unto the Lord our God. That represents Him well. That speaks highly of God. The Lord our God. Hallelujah to Him. Salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. And then in verse 4 it shares with us, and the beast fell down and worshiped God. God's people don't need a greater name than that about God. We appreciate the Lord going on and sharing other words with it, the Lord God Almighty and so forth. But to God's people, His name is just precious. And His name means Savior to us. His main name means Deliverer to us. His main name means Shepherd to us. All the other names that we find in the Scripture, when we hear the name of God, we are tuned in to that relationship. And then in verse 5, it says, praise our Lord. And again, the term is used there, God. Praise our God. And then in verse 6, it says, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Now, those are wonderful and beautiful word pictures with regard to our God. But as we follow through in this chapter, we get to see Him. We get to see Him as the passage in the book of Job shares with us. Towards the conclusion of that book in chapter 42, Job shares with us about the Lord, and he's speaking to the Lord, I have heard of you with the hearing of the ear. Now, we could go through here and say, we've heard about Him. We've heard about Him with the hearing of the ear. But then he goes on to share with us, but my eye seeth you. And I think as we look at this, we'll say that verse of Scripture, that passage of Scripture fits this very well. For we go on from this passage and we get to see the Lord. We see Him on His great white horse. Now, when I get to heaven, I'm not going to see Jesus sitting on a horse. It's typical. It's pictorial. Of His great, mighty power. He has not given up His power. And He rode on a white horse here and never sat down on a horse. He has ridden a white horse throughout eternity, but He has never been on one. He created them, and He caused kings to use them. But while He was on this earth, He rode a donkey, and that's the only animal we read about Him ever, beast of burden He ever sat on, was that colt, the foal of a donkey, that He rode into Jerusalem on. But if we follow the ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ from the beginning of time to now, we've always seen Him sitting on a great white horse of victory, a great stallion of glory and praise. He has always demonstrated that He is the Lord God Almighty, and He is omnipotent, and He reigneth, and He does that by this picture that we have here. It is interesting that if we follow the life of John, the one that was permitted to write this, got to rest his head on the chest of the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're doing that, and this last week I had the opportunity of having my little grandson rest his head on my chest and look right at me and laugh. And I enjoyed every minute of it. It is a close privilege to do that. And to think of John being able to rest his head on the chest of the Lord Jesus and look at Him face to face, so close, and to have that relationship. And yet, he goes on, he is going to see something here that he has not seen before. We find the Lord Jesus went on the Mount of Transfiguration and was there, and John got to see Him in His transfigured glory. And yet, here is something that John got to see for the first time, and so do we. Not that we don't have it throughout the Scriptures, but what a glorious view of the victorious, almighty, omnipotent God is revealed to us here in the 19th chapter of the book of Revelation. And then we find that John saw Him. Turn, just keep your finger there in Revelation 19 and turn back to 1 John chapter 1, verse 1. And John shares with us this about this view of the Lord Jesus that he had while he's on the earth and what a blessing it was. And to God's people, we still get to do this. We see the Lord, and I like what Paul was led to write, and I haven't looked that word up for a long time, but to see him through a glass darkly. That's a piece of smoked glass. You can get the outline, but oh my goodness, then face to face. And we get to see that some here in this book of Revelation. It is the book of victory. It is the book of God's victory over every enemy. And we see him in his glory riding his great white horse. And it is a psalm of victory. And the church just bows and thanks God that they get to enjoy it. I was sharing with somebody this afternoon. Sometimes we look around and we see all the issues around us. And they just don't make us. But then we get to think of there is a king sitting high and lifted up on his throne. And he rules and reigns over all things. And all things are in his control. And that alone keep God's people sane. They have the ability to see things that most people don't get to see. Most people are just blind. They're not physically blind, but they're just blind to any spiritual thing, any righteous thing. They're blind to it, and they're so willing to accept anything. And God's people have a view of things that are different than the lost, and they see this great cloud, and that it concerns us. And yet we see behind the cloud the King of glory ruling and reigning and holding all things together, and by his purpose all things consist. And we say, it is well with my soul. And we quit wringing our hands for a second. All right. 1 John chapter 1. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard. Which we have heard. Now this is over here in Revelation. We went down here. We heard of his name. We heard his name. More God's people. We've not only just heard of his name, but we've heard his name. It's penetrated. It's gone deep into our soul. And we delight in the name of God. And he's more than just a name. He's more than just an issue. He's more than just a God that can't get anything. He is God. And we delight in it. But as John goes on here, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, we've got to go more than just hear of him and hear him. We are permitted to see him with our eyes. And when we see him, he is so almighty, we stand in awe. When we see him on his horse, we stand in awe. He is one that can ride well. He is not flopping all over in the saddle. He knows how to ride his power and demonstrate it in such quantity and quality that the church stands in awe of him and delights that there's my Savior. You've asked about him before, but there he is. He is mighty. He's a warrior, and it took his great might and power to overcome all the enemies, and he has, and he's victorious, and you want to see him, there he is. He's mighty in power. Well, John goes on here to say, we've seen him with our eyes, which we have looked upon, our hands have handled of the word of life. For the life was manifested, and we have seen it and bear witness and shown to you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested unto us. And that which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship was with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. That which we've heard and seen, we declare it unto you. Well, John is doing some of that here in the 19th chapter. We've got his name out here several times, and we've got it qualified in several different ways, and yet now we see him here as the great victor riding on his horse, his stallion of glory. It tells us here in Revelation chapter 19 and verse 11, And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse. And he that sat on him was called Faithful and True, and righteousness he doth judge and make war. Now I think the Lord drives his horse with his knees. I've read of old horsemen, they didn't even have to use their reins. They trained their horses to move with their knees. If they ever lost the reins, they still had control. This great horseman is in control of his almighty power, and he doesn't even need reins in his hands. He is powerful. Turn back with me to the book of Exodus. When the children of Israel came across the Red Sea, Moses made a great song. He had a song, and this song is so delightful. It's found in Exodus chapter 15. Exodus chapter 15. The children of Israel passed through the Red Sea unscathed and without mud on them. Great billows of water on both sides, and the army of Egypt behind them. And they moved on through, and God protected them. He had a pillar of fire behind them. They couldn't overtake them. But as they moved on, and then God turned that water loose. Now this is what Moses said about the Lord as he reflected on this great victory. Physically speaking, I don't believe that there was one Jew that didn't thank God for that water coming back on all those Egyptians. There was hot pursuit after them. There was great fear, and they're hemmed in. There's a lot of water stacked up on both sides. Now, they witnessed the miracle and didn't change any heart, but I can't help but think they weren't pretty thankful that they got through there. The other night, Jennifer and I were watching the evacuation at Dunkirk. It was a miracle. 340,000 men evacuated at Dunkirk. It had been just so easy for the Nazis to destroy that entire army. And the only reason they didn't is Adolf Hitler read in his horoscope it wasn't a good time to move. Now, there's sometimes bad men need to read their horoscopes. Those men, they showed them on those boats asleep, at peace, and thankful that they got out of France. 340,000 men. Well, there's about 6 million Jews got through this watery grave without mud on their feet. And this is what Moses says. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel the song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. The Lord is my strength and song. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will prepare him a habitation, my father's God, and I will exalt him. Now notice verse 3. The Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. Now, if we've ever had a description of this, it's in Revelation chapter 19 when John says, I saw heaven opened, and I saw my Lord sitting on a horse, a white horse, in victory. He was the one that won the victory over Egypt, and he was the one that won the victory over all those tribes in the promised land, and he was the one that won the victory over sin and death on the cross. This is our Lord, and we speak highly of him. Christ is in the highest place of honor as he sits on that horse. And though we'll never see him, except in a picture in our mind, we'll never see him sitting on a white horse, we too, when we see him, will call him the victor. He is the victor over all enemies. And this horse shares with us that very thing. Christ is in his highest place of honor. Now, presently, he does not need to be promoted to it. He was there before the world began. He was there during the world's existence, and he will be there when the world is finished. He is in his highest place of honor. Turn with me, if you would. And some of these verses we've read in the past many times, but as I mentioned this morning, it's okay. It's here for us to read. Colossians. Would you turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 18? What a wonderful verse. We see the Lord sitting on his horse. He has the preeminence in everything. Boy, have you ever walked up to someone that's sitting on a horse? They have the preeminence. I was a young boy one time, and I walked too close to a horse, and that horse reared with the rider on it. Happened to be Brenda's great-grandfather was sitting on that horse, Ernest Robnett, and I thought I was going to meet the Lord. He had the preeminence. Boy, there's just something about a man on a horse who knows what he's doing. Now look here, Colossians. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18, we find this wonderful statement made about the Lord. Colossians chapter 1, and he's the head of the body. What another statement. He's head and shoulders as he stands alone, but when he sits on his power, when he sits in his glory, when he sits on his throne, when he sits on his horse, he is triumphant. No one will take him on in this position, and no one will take the Lord on in his glory. No one will take him on in his power. No one will take him on in his might. No one will take him on in his strength. No one will take him on, as we find here. He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all. Now that word things is put there by our translators, and sometimes it clarifies it for us, but let's just put it this way. And all things, and all, he might have the preeminence. What doesn't that cover? Nothing. In all, he might have the preeminence. He is sitting on his power, his glory, his strength, his might, his sovereignty, his grace, an elective grace. He is sitting on it. And the people that know him say amen. They bow in his presence. They'll throw palm fronds in front of him and say, "Hallelujah to the Lord God Almighty." Back up just one book to the book of Philippians there. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. God said this about the Lord. He's highly exalted him. This is God speaking about the one who's on this great stallion, this white horse. Philippians chapter 2, verse 9, it says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name." Well, we can go down through the list of his names, but he's got a name above every name. And when we see him, his name, the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth. What is left out? Nothing. Everything shall bow to him. So what a glorious view John saw and gave it to us as the Holy Spirit caused him to write these things down for our benefit. I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him was called Faithful and True. What a glorious view. John could say, "I've heard of you by your name. Now my eye seeth you. I've heard of you by the name of God, Lord God Almighty, Lord God Omnipotent, Almighty God. I've heard of you with all these names." But now as he opens his eyes and heaven is open, and God does that for his people as we go through the Word of God, he allows heaven to be open and allows us to see him. Not just by a name, but by a view that only the church can comprehend, that he is almighty and he's all powerful and he has all things in his control and none can stay his hand or say, "What doest thou?" This is the Lord. The white horse represents our Savior's power and dominion as a great victor. He has dominion. John chapter 17. This has just been this, the great high priestly prayer. My goodness, if I ever got started preaching on that, I'd never get finished. So I'm going to stick with the Psalms. John 17, verse 2. As we think about this horse, this white horse represents our Savior's power and dominion. as our great victor. He's our great victor. We see him on his horse of power, on his horse of strength and might. We could be called peons, but we're called children. We could be called low down, but we're called his own, his church, and he's the head of it. We could be called, but we're called his sanctified ones. He looks at us that way from his vantage point. But we see him as the Almighty. All right, John 17, verse 2, as thou hast given him power over all flesh. All right. I've heard of you. And now I get to see you. You've been given power over all flesh, that he should give eternal life. And you know, it takes a great, mighty, almighty, omnipotent, everlasting, eternal God to promise everlasting life. Look what he's dealing with. He's dealing with sinners on a daily basis. And if he wasn't that one riding on that great white horse, he'd lose us all. There would be no ability. We'd be like what's read over there in the book of Hebrews. He said, if it were possible that he would lose it, he'd have to be crucified afresh. But the Lord God that rides on this horse did it once, and we read that song, this beautiful song about it's finished. He completed everything that was required of him because he is almighty and sits in his power. He was able to say, I will save them to the uttermost, and none shall take them out of my Father's hand, and none shall take them out of my hand, and I shall lose none of them. Why? Because he is almighty. He's all powerful. And that's who John saw on that great white horse. Victory. Victory in motion. Victory saddled up. This is it. And as it goes on there, it says in John 17, verse 2, I'll give eternal life to as many as thou hast given me. So this is just the gospel story, the gospel account. God the Father gave the Son some people. And God the Son says, I will lay down my life for them. And being all powerful, and the Lord God Almighty, and the Lord God Omnipotent, he could do that and be successful. And the Holy Spirit in his almighty power could go about and find every last one of them and regenerate them and bring them to Christ. And they would repent and believe. And victory is God's. Victory is God. That's the terrible thing about work salvation. Victory is not God's. But grace, the victory is God's. All of it. Every bit of it. There's not a splotch of black on this white horse. There's nothing. It is pure. He's riding on this white horse. And I think if we turn over to Job 39, God used a horse as an example to Job. In Job 39, all that book through, we read about those supposed friends, and then we got that guy that knew a little bit. Yeah, religion doesn't know anything. They'll share anything. Don't know anything. They're no help. Then somebody comes along that you don't like very well and shared some good things for Job. It wasn't all that appealing. And then the Lord stepped in, and he just brought it to fruition. But notice here in Job 39, the Lord is teaching Job some things. Oh, how God opens up his word to his people and teaches us some things. Teaches us some things about his power. That's what he's doing with John, and he's doing with us, doing with the church, when he says, I saw heaven open, and there was a great white horse, and he that sat on him was faithful and true. We know who that is. Job 39, verse 19, God speaks. He shares some things. Verse 39, verse 19. Hast thou given the rider strength? Hast thou clothed his neck with thunder? Canst thou make him afraid as a grasshopper in glory of his nostrils is terrible? He paweth in the valley and rejoiceth in his strength. This is a description of the horse. God's given Job a description of the horse. And this horse is mighty and powerful. He paweth the valley. The strength. One of my favorite movies of all times, and I probably watched it 30 times. It's A Man from Snowy River. There's a horseman going down that, whew, and that, the glory is to the horse. That is some horse that could do that. Go down through there. And I give the horse a lot of credit. Man had to stay on, but the horse, well, the quiver, verse 23, the quiver rattleth against him, the glittering spear and the shield. He swalloweth the ground with fierceness and rage. Neither believeth he that it is the sound of the trumpet. He saith among the trumpets, ha ha, and he smelleth the battle afar off, the thunder of the captains and the shouting. Doth the hawk, oh, then he talks about a hawk and an eagle here. But just that horse, the power of it. And that's what we see over here in the book of Revelation. Power of this beast. My dad's neighbor one time went down to the auction, and they run all kinds of animals through there. Mike shared about his grandfather going to the auction. He brought all kinds of things. So, well, they run all kinds of animals through there, and they always started high. And there was a horse jumped out in that arena, and the guy had a real high number, and my dad's neighbor bought that horse. He probably could have got it for $25, and he paid like $500 for it. And he couldn't ride it. That horse had a mind of its own. He'd take the bit in its mouth and just take off. So he talked us kids into riding that horse for him. I've never been so afraid in my life. Is all you could do is get it up the road, and on the way down, it took the bit in its mouth, and I remember the gravel just going like this from the horse hooves. It ran as hard as it could, and if it hadn't had a saddle horn that was attached, I'd have pulled it off. But I just think of the strength of that horse and the power of that horse and the might of that horse as he traveled along, and he took me for a ride. Get home just scared to death, and the next day he tried again. My uncle was a horseman. Oh, he could herd cattle. He used them for plowing and everything else. That was his love. And to have this demonstration of God to us, this picture of our Savior sitting on this powerful beast that he created. His power, his might, and his strength is demonstrated in such a way. And this white horse represents also certain victory to our Savior. Certain victory. We'll never see the Lord sitting on a horse. As I said, except in our mind as we read through this. And Lord, help me to take that out of there. But may I see you in this victory. May I see you in this certain victory. Revelation chapter 6, verse 2. Turn there with me if you would. Revelation chapter 6 and verse 2, as we once again see this great horse that John saw. I saw heaven open and a great white horse. And sitting on him was him whose name is, oh, wonderful. Revelation chapter 6 verse 2, the scriptures share this. It says, and I saw and behold a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow and a crown was given unto him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Now, he does that in several ways. There's not a believer that has not been conquered. Not a believer that has not been conquered. His grace conquered us. His grace conquered us. He went forth conquering and to conquer. And everyone that opposes him, he will also conquer. None will stay in his presence. He will conquer. He went forth conquering and to conquer. He's conquering the elect. From a distance, it takes God to tell the difference between his elect ones and the lost ones before they're saved. They're wretched and blind and poor and halt and everything else. And yet, he goes forth and conquers them and makes them his children. Now, that's amazing. That's gracious. That's glorious. And that's a victory. Then everyone else, he will say to those on the left hand, I conquer you. I have conquered you. I am conquering you, and I will conquer you. And every knee shall bow, and every tongue shall confess the Lord Jesus to the glory of God the Father. Now, it's here or there. That's all there is. It's here or there. And thank God that he allows his people here to confess him, to know him, to see him, to hear him, and to see him. And this is what we find with regard to the Lord. He's on a great white horse, a great charger, represents his certain victory. It is a victory. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. 1 John chapter 3 and verse 16. We read these words. This is a victory. Hereby perceive we the love of God, because he laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. He laid down his life for us. That's a victory. Well, his blood is precious. His blood is efficacious. His blood accomplished. He's faithful and true. His eyes are a flame of fire. He discovers the hearts of men. I was going over the Wednesday night lesson with my bride. Brother Mike brought a lesson on that woman that came in and washed the Lord's feet with her hair. And the Lord knew what was going through that Pharisee's heart. He didn't have any questions. Now, what was that you thought? He didn't have to. Would you tell me what you're thinking about this? I can see your face is kind of drawn up. He didn't have to do that. He knew what was going. Oh, my goodness. He has his eyes. There's a flame of fire. And he discovers the hearts of men. He discovered our heart. It was not right with God. And he made it right. And that's this king that sits on his horse. He knows how to deal with his people. And a head with many crowns. Over there in Revelation, it talks about he's sitting on a horse. His eyes were as a flame of fire. And his head has many crowns. And every enemy, I just think of the old kings. It was their job to collect crowns. They went around collecting crowns. Every victory, they collected a crown. Now, it may be represented by a sword. Might be the defeated general's sword they collected, but they collected a crown. It's interesting to find out that when General Cornwallis was going to concede to General Washington, he sent his second in command to give his sword, and General Washington would not take it. He let his second in command take it. General Cornwallis should have been there. He should have given his sword to the victor. And the victor says, I won't take it, but my second in command will take it. Well, the Lord never does that. He's going to take the crown. Now, we're all kings in our, we think we are, and he has a head full of crowns that he's taken. He's won a victory over us, and part of what we do is give him our crown. You're in charge now. You're in charge. You got a head with many crowns, and we do that gladly. We submit to him. He is now the king of our heart. We don't make him king. He makes himself king. He's Lord, Savior, Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So this beautiful picture, this view, I've heard of you by your names, and now my eye seeth you. And we'll go on and see some more of this great king of victory as he performs these great feats. As we close out this wonderful book of Revelation, these last few chapters, he's going to demonstrate more and more and more of his great victory over every enemy. And the church is going to stand along the sidelines and say, Amen. I knew it was coming. Amen. Brother Mike.